I wonder what words struck you as I was reading that gospel passage just then. What particular phrases or words or incidences that you hadn't seen before suddenly spoke perhaps particularly to you, things that you hadn't seen before. Whenever we come across Holy Scripture, whether we read it alone or in the context of this kind of setting, a gathering, we need to know that this is God's Word. And He wants to speak to us. And He wants to stir us up and to challenge us and to comfort us and to renew us and to refresh us. We all need something of that in our lives. As I looked at this story, and I've read it many times, I'm sure all of you have and have heard it read too. Just aware, Peter, James and John were in many respects in the most fortunate of positions. There they were alone with Jesus. And it wasn't the first time, or it wouldn't be the last time, that they would be together with Jesus in that particular way. They were there, Jesus took them to be with the rising of Jairus' daughter. I wonder why He chose them. They would be there in the Garden of Gethsemane when He would be praying together. And He told them, keep watch and pray. And here they are. Here they are in this holy place, at this holy moment, with Jesus, when Jesus was transfigured before them. The word in the Greek actually means metamorphosis, so that He was completely changed before them. Not quite sure what that means exactly, but He obviously looked very different. We're told that his clothes were dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. Remember that advert for Dazz? Made these claims. Well, actually, it says you can do that. Jesus was, you know, completely white, changed before them. They saw something in Jesus, and they saw something of the glory and the presence of God. If I'm honest, that's what I'm seeking for when we gather to worship, something of the glory of God to be manifest. That we may know his power and His glory in this world and in our lives, so that we may then do His works. And then at the end of this, after the appearing, we have this epiphany, this moment of appearing of God. The clouds enveloped, it says, the disciples, presumably, as well. And that was an extraordinary experience, too. Completely enveloped them, so that when they turned around afterwards, they saw that these Elijah and Moses had disappeared. They'd gone. They were no longer there. There's a lot of things, a lot of emotions going on there for them. What must they have been thinking when they eventually began to ponder what they had witnessed on that mountaintop? But then the voice came. This is my son whom I love. Listen to him. And there are many accounts in the Bible where Scripture encourages people to be obedient listeners. Many people will hear things, but not everyone will respond obediently to what they are hearing. And obedient listening is absolutely one of the best ways of making our way to God. The way to Jesus is through obedient listening. The way of Jesus was obedient listening. He was always listening for His Father's will for His life. And you would have thought that was fairly easy for the Son of God. But actually, He still had to be obedient to God's will for His life. He still had to listen intently to where God was leading Him. And He didn't do or say anything that He didn't sense that His Father, His Heavenly Father, wanted Him to do. So, it feels to me today, and it was true for Elijah, and it was true for Moses too, that obedient listening is still really important and crucial to us as human beings and as Christians. Certainly for Moses, he listened a lot to what God had to say, but he wasn't very obedient for a while. He struggled greatly because he felt he didn't have the necessary experience or any of the gifts that he would need to have to go and speak to Pharaoh so that the people of Israel may be freed from their captivity. And he kept moaning to God, saying, "Not me, anyone but me." And God was speaking to him. And he had to become an obedient listener, listening to what God was saying and then putting into action. However falteringly, he had to go and do that. He had to go and speak to Pharaoh. Sometimes God will plant in your heart things that you feel that you cannot do. There is no way on this earth that you feel that you can do these things that he's calling you to do. And that may be anything at all. It may be from going and speaking to somebody about your faith in Christ. It may be just simply knocking on someone's door because you have sensed that God has called you to go and prayerfully visit them and be with them in their grief or in their sadness or whatever it is. But obedient listening, which that is that which brings us closer to God. So we need to actually listen and obey and do the things that he calls us to do. Now, I'm not saying I've got this right at all. I'm just saying that that's what appears to be true of the people of the book, the Old Testament and the New. So there are examples of people who heard and didn't obey, and there are people who clearly heard and did obey. And there's a kind of peace that comes when we hear, we listen, and we do obey. So obedient listening is, it seems to me, the way of Jesus. He was completely obedient to his Father's will, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he asked for this cup, if it was possible to be taken from him. "Yet, Lord, yet, Father, if it's your will, this is what I need to do." It was the way of Jesus. And it's true to say that obediently listening is also the way to Jesus, listening to what he has to say for us as individuals. If we want to witness his glory in our lives and in this world, manifested in his church in all sorts of different ways, then we have to be obedient listeners, listening to what he wants us to do. Sometimes speaking out prophetically words into people's lives, something you sense that God has said to you for somebody else. Now that may sound a bit strange. You may have thought it was just for the people of Elijah's reign. I'm amazed to read that there are a company of the prophets, 50 of the company of prophets went with Elijah and Elisha. There's a lot of prophets around in those days. The Lord is still looking for prophets. It's one of those gifts that we ought to eagerly desire. And you may think, there's no way that I'm going to become a prophet. I don't have those gifts. Well, actually, no, you don't. God has those gifts. And he may dispense them as he chooses to see fit. So in that passage of scripture that we just read today, you may one morning wake and read a similar passage of scripture like that, which may be something will pop out of the page which is just for you. Or it may be that you will meet someone later in the day for whom that is absolutely true. Someone who needs to listen for God because they're struggling in this life or something. Whichever phrase it is that pops out the page for you, right in the chapter, it may be for somebody else. Will you be an obedient listener? If God says, all I want you to do is to say to somebody, this may be for you. You're not saying it is for you, you're saying this may well be for you. Whatever it is. For me, in this passage, in Mark 9, it seems to me, listening has to be the thing. So God must be speaking to me about listening a bit more at the moment. And in order to do a bit of that, we need to spend some time. I need to spend some time alone with God, listening to what he is saying to me about my life as an individual in my relationship with him. he may also want to speak to me about the church and the things that we're meant to be doing. But I have to listen. So I have to put this into practice. But time alone with God. We have an opportunity in the Anglican Church to observe Lent. It's a great opportunity to read the Bible together and alone. But when we do it, let's do it listening obediently to God's word and see where it leads us as individuals and as a church. God wants to do extraordinary things still in our generation. This is God's living, active word, and he wants it to change people's lives, mine, yours, people who have not heard it yet. He wants that to happen because he longs for people to be able to hear his voice, be changed by it. And I hope that as people do hear that, particularly from his witnesses, which is you and me, incidentally, that actually they will find something which will draw them closer to God, not push them away from God. It's very interesting that in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he said, for some people, this word and this message is veiled. They can't see it. And I think that's true, and you probably know people I do, who've heard this many times, the good news that God loves them, but they've not been ready. And you can't push it. No point pushing anything like that at all. But one day, their eyes will be opened, the veil will be removed, and they will see for themselves something of God's graciousness. And they will see for themselves that God is love and wants to draw them unto himself. And it may be that he'll use you in that process, but you have to be open to it. So, I want us to be still for a moment, and I suppose what we need to be doing is asking God to help us to become obedient listeners. That we will do something with the word that he has given us today, and the word that he gives us tomorrow. And if he encourages us to do that, that we will step out in faith and do that very thing. Let's be still in God's presence.